And good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence Show. Thanks for joining me. And you may be listening on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM or on Free FM 89.0 throughout the Waikato coming out of Hamilton. Or this week, from this week, you may even be listening in on Spotify or Google or Apple, one of these places, as the station now has a flash new website, which I encourage you all to go to check out. It's raglancommunityradio.nz. And from there, we'll be doing different podcasts. And that's very exciting. And thanks to our friends at Free FM, too, for helping out their little baby sister station with that one. Anyways, on the show today, we have Bexy Toll later on talking about her role with Landcare Research. And before that, though, we're going to have some headlines from the primary sector, some weather, plenty of weather, as a matter of fact, and some gardening to-dos. Before we get into all of that, I'm going to play you some Little Feet. A song called Dixie Chicken featuring Emily Lou Harris and Bonnie Raitt. Hope you enjoy this one.
I'd like to introduce some folks who are going to be playing and singing with us tonight. Miss Emily Lou Harris. And Miss Bonnie Raitt. And Mr. Jesse Winchester. I seen the bright lights of Memphis and the Commodore Hotel, and underneath the street lamp I met a Southern belle. Oh, she took me to the river where she cast a spell, and in that Southern moonlight she sang a song so well. If you be my Dixie Chicken, Tennessee land, we can walk together down Dixieland, down Dixieland. But oh, but oh, she ran away. Guess that guitar player sure could play. She always liked to sing along. She's always handy with the song. And one night in the lobby, yeah, of the Commodore Hotel, I chanced to meet a bartender who said he knew her well. And as he handed me a drink, he began to hum a song. All the boys there at the bar began to sing along. If you be my Dixie Chicken, I'll be your Tennessee lamb.
There we are, folks. That was Dixie Chicken there featuring Bonnie Raitt and Emily Lou Harris. Hope you enjoyed that one. And Little Feet, of course. And headlines for this week. New Zealand arable farmers are considering planting more milling wheat this autumn to help combat global shortages. Federated Farmers Arable Chair Colin Hurd said New Zealand grew about 100,000 tonnes of milling wheat and about 250,000 tonnes of feed wheat for stock. He adds, we're looking into whether we can have a bit of a push to increase the area of milling wheat and we've started initial talks with the government about this and whether there's an opportunity for New Zealand to assist with growing more grain. About 70% of the wheat used in flour production in New Zealand is imported, mostly from Australia. Fonterra has reported a lower half-year profit as higher milk prices raised its costs and cut its margins. Chief Executive Miles Hurrell said Fonterra was performing well, but feeling the pinch of record milk prices, reduced milk supply, and uncertainties caused by the pandemic. He adds sales in the Americas and Europe were better, driven by improved performance in chili businesses and increased sales at high-value ingredients used to make high-protein snack bars and ready-to-drink nutrition beverages. Although I did read further in that article, I didn't actually write it down, but they're looking at selling the Chilean businesses. It's part of what they've been doing lately, and it's kind of worked out so well for them, pretty well for them so far. And for the first time since December, the average price of the global dairy auction fell this week, 0.9% after rising 5.1% in the previous auction. The amount sold was down 7.4% on the previous auction. In the past month, dairy companies have raised their forecast payout to farmers for the current season to record highs, around $9.50 per kg of milk solid. So, yeah, still in a purple patch, the dairy suppliers. And bee colony deaths in Aotearoa have risen for the seventh year in a row, with estimates being nearly 14% of beehives were lost over the 2021 winter. 2021 winter survey involving nearly half of New Zealand's beekeepers found the overall loss rate was approximately 109,800 colonies, up 2.3% on 2020 levels. For the first time in the survey's history, varroa mite was most frequently attributed to colony losses instead of queen problems, which it always has been. Also, wasps and suspected starvation were noted as factors. Consequently, the Ministry for Primary Industries has begun a collaborative education program with the beekeeping industry on how to tackle varroa mites and other biosecurity threats. And it's also funded a new research project to better understand how varroa treatments are used in New Zealand. Biosecurity New Zealand has released a new web tool which allows people to report suspected exotic pests and diseases online. People can now go to report.mpi.gov.nz, which complements the 0800 00833 number and users are guided through the reporting process and can submit photos, locations of find and fines and other information. Biosecurity New Zealand Deputy Director General Stuart Anderson said in 2021, phone calls to our exotic pests and disease hotline triggered 1,942 investigations. And while few resulted in actual incursions, every report was valued. And a new hydroponic growing technique is set to be trialled by Southern Fresh Foods with government help. The government will invest $869,000 worth of funding through MPI's Ministry of Prime Ministry's Sustainable Food and Fibre Fund, while Southern Fresh Foods will contribute $1.28 million to the venture over the next 2.5 years. Minister for Agriculture Damien O'Connor said the project near Cambridge seeks to sustainably provide year-round production of baby leaf salads, herbs and vegetables, and to set a benchmark of 100% yields. He adds the tech involves an automated moving gully system, which is unique and significantly more advanced than hydroponic systems currently found in New Zealand. The system uses robotics to optimise space usage based on the life stage and size of the plants being grown, with a lighter impact on the environment, and so far results look promising, he said. And he also adds that this has obvious benefits as we seek to mitigate the effects of climate change and create resilience in our production system. And, yep, that might sound like a good news story, and I think that's that massive building you can see if you're driving down the new motorway just past, or before you get to Cambridge. I think that's where it's at. But on the other side of that one, yeah, good innovation and what have you, but, yeah, hydroponics, it's not kind of the way forward in New Zealand, I don't think. Cause I know at the moment in the States they're trying to get hydroponics certified as an organic growing medium, which it's not because it's got no contact with the soil at all. So I wonder if that's got something to do with this new venture or not. But I guess time will tell. That's kind of it for the headlines. He says, trying to find the mouse. Here it is. So now going to play you a song by Sonic Youth called Sunday Live. Hope you enjoy this one, Sunday. Sonic Youth here with Sunday. Glad you enjoyed that one, Paul. We're the time now here on the Over the Fence show, and there's a lot to get through. There has been many thunderstorms over the country over the last few days, and it looks like there's going to be more on the way today. That was a forecast. Doesn't really look like it out the window at the moment anyway, down here on Bow Street. But yeah, there's one covering, there's three of them, three bands of thunderstorms over the country. One covers most of the South Island and is going up through Wellington and into the Wairarapa kind of area. They're deemed low risk, but heavy rain. And there's another side from the eastern side of the Coromandel ranges through the Bay of Plenty and out to Gisborne, with thunderstorms expected in the afternoon and evening, which is moderate risk of heavy rain, somewhere they reckon between 15 and 25 mils per hour, with localised downpours at 25 to 40 mils per hour. So, yeah, they've had a lot of rain over in Gisborne, and it looks like they're going to get some more today, unfortunately. And the other one runs up through Taranaki, Waikato, and the western side of the Coromandel Ranges, and up through to the east coast of Northland, kind of. So that might come over here to over Hamilton and over into Raglan possibly this afternoon or evening, and it's expecting thunderstorms, moderate risk, rain between 10 and 25 mil an hour, possibly hail, I can't see it, it's pretty humid, but that's what they say, with downpours, localised downpours, somewhere between 25 and 40 mil an hour. And with it northeasterly over the country lately, it's been humid, which has been great for mushrooms, of course. But yeah, also got to watch out for your spore count, folks. With the facial eczema, of course. But this should ease in the North Island from Friday, they predict. Low pressure sits to our west and northeast today, with more showers on the way for many regions and some heavy rain for northeastern parts of the North Island. In the Waikato, mostly cloudy with showers today, isolated heavy falls and thunder possible later on. 90% chance of about 6 mils of rain today, which isn't heaps. But from tomorrow, only a slim chance of trace rain until next Friday. So yeah, the rain might have come and gone, but it has been pretty changeable, the forecast, but that's what they're predicting at the moment. And the winds today are east-northeast, strong winds at about 35k an hour from the southwest for tomorrow and Friday, which are going to move south-southwest into Saturday and Sunday, and southerly from later on Sunday until next Wednesday. And the daytime temperatures this week are going to range between 22 and 24 degrees Celsius. And nighttime temperatures are going to range from about 13 to 16 degrees Celsius. So still, pretty warm at nights. Humidity today is 93%. And the sun rose this morning at 7:26 a.m. We'll set this evening at 7:30 p.m. The length of visible light is 12 hours and 55 minutes. The actual day length is 12 hours and 3 minutes. And tomorrow will be 2 minutes and 26 seconds shorter than today. And the moon, ladies and gentlemen, is a waning gibbous, somewhere between 69 and 77% illuminated. It's in the last quarter phase in a couple of days. Will rise this evening at 10:27 and will set at 12:31 p.m. And the autumnal equinox was Monday, with the full moon. They run it off the full moon occurring nearest the equinox, which is also, funnily enough, called the harvest moon, the one that just was. And why is that, folks? Well, as the moon rises soon after sunset, it extends light into the early evening a bit. So traditionally, farmers could harvest their summer crops a bit longer. So that's why it's called the harvest moon. So there we are. And have some rainfall to report this week. Ron Rumble out there in Ruapuki had 47 mils. Thank you, Ron. He said, freshened up the place. So that's a good one, Ron. To Hutawai, 61 mils. Thank you, Craig. Three Streams, 58 mils. And I'm very pleased to announce this week, ladies and gentlemen, we have a new contributor from Orkete. Chris had 37 mils. So thank you, Chris, for sending that one through. And hopefully, when it does rain, we'll get weekly ones from you. So I really appreciate that, Chris. But I guess that's why I like doing this little segment. Three Streams and Orkete as a crow flies aren't very far away, but 58 mils and Three Streams. Thank you, Callum, by the way, for that. And 37 in Orkete. Interesting, isn't it? Around the Waikato, Wainoro had 68 millimetres. Wairamarama had 92 millimetres. Tikwiti had 120 millimetres. Te Aroha had 84 millimetres. Tiaramutu had 81 mils, and the Pinnacles, which is, of course, out towards the ranges, Coromandel Ranges, 327 millimetres. So there we are. That's the weather, and I think that's got to be the longest ever weather thing I've done on the show. So here goes Rain by the Chills. Chills there with the Rain. And now it's time for gardening for the week, folks. And if you're gardening by the moon, today and tomorrow is a good day to set slug and snail traps to protect your early brassica crops. And from Friday, prepare beds for winter planting, adding lots of compost and a well-balanced fertiliser. And this, of course, we get this every week from our friends at Organic Edible Garden. So check out their website, they've got heaps of cool stuff on there. And, of course, during the last quarter, both the decreased light and decreased gravitational pull are make it a time probably not ideal for planting seeds and such things. What you can plant in a few days' time, folks, if you so wish, are alyssum, beetroot, blueberries, bok choy, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, calendula, carrots, cauliflower, celery, chrysanthemum, coriander, cyclamen, daffodil, daisy, delphinium, dianthus, feijoas, forget-me-nots, hyacinth, impatiens, kale, lavender, leeks, lemons, lettuce, limes, mandarins, marigold, mesclun, onions, oranges, pansy and viola, parsley, poppy, radish, rhubarb, rocket, silver beet, snapdragon and spinach, spring onions, sweet pea and tulip. And also, if you're interested in gardening stuff, the Whangaroa Environment Centre, just next door from here, in the in the town, Raglan Town Hall. I was listening to Jasmine talking to Aaron this morning, and they've got a series of gardening kind of workshops coming up, including a free Zoom one all about seeds and stuff like that. So there's a lot happening in that area. So if you're interested in that, go check out their Facebook page at Whangaroa Environment Centre. Yeah, on Facebook, and you can jump on and get involved with a few of those gardening workshops if you so wish. So plan to keep you busy in the garden. Now I'm going to play you Lucy Dacus, a song called VBS. So I hope you enjoy this one.
In the summer of 07, I was sure I'd go to heaven, but I was hedging my bets at VBS. The preacher in a t-shirt told me I could be a leader, taught me how to build a fire and to spread.
Lucy Dacus there with their song VBS. Hope you enjoyed that one. And I just want to say that Surfing Farmers is on this evening up at the Naranui Surf Club. So if you get up there about 5 o'clock or whatever, they'll fit you out with surfboard, wetsuit, free feed and a beer later on. So get yourself along to that one. It's the last one for this summer, and then I think they start again in November. And yes, the Rural Sport Trust number, I'll give you that as well, as 0800 787 254, if you want to get a hold of them. I was talking to Wanda actually up at Surfing Farmers last Wednesday and said there's been a few people just staying home and don't really know what to do as far as getting food and things go if they're isolating with COVID and such things. So yeah, I heard a couple of stories. Yeah, people are basically running out of food. So if you're in that situation, folks, 0800 787 254, and have a talk to the good people at the Rural Support Trust. All right, so I'm going to play some ads now, and when I come back, I will get our guest on, Bixie Toll. And now we are joined on the line, hopefully, by Bixie Toll. Are you there, Bixie?
Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Not quite.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's much better.
There we are. I've been standing up, and I've just sat down, so the microphone was up in the air, but now it is not. And how are you today, Bixie?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yes, and thank you very much for joining us on the show.
No worries. Nice to be back on the radio. It's been a while since I've talked to Aaron.
Okay, yes. I've heard you talking to him quite a few times, actually, haven't I?
Yeah, I've been doing little monthly slots with Aaron since my work at the Environment Centre, probably when he started the morning show, which would have been, 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah, that'd be about right.
And then that transferred over to my role with Kerio Project and doing monthly slots for Kerio Project. So I've now moved further abroad, as we're about to talk about, and living in Raglan, but working on a project that's over the Divi. And so it's nice to come back to Raglan Radio and still be able to chat to you guys.
For sure. Yes, and we'll get to the project later on. But, yeah, I guess, first thing, you tell us a little bit about yourself, Bixie. I mean, regular morning show listeners might have know all about you, but maybe not over-the-fence listeners.
Yeah, I've been in Raglan just a bit over 10 years, I think, but I come from the States originally, if you hadn't already guessed that, and I've been working in the kind of community and environmental scene around Raglan for a while, so at the Whangaroa Environment Centre, at Extreme Zero Waste, and with the Kerio Project for over 10 years. And my background's in kind of international relations, and a lot of what I've done, I've really just learned through experience, and it's been awesome to join the community. I've also have a yoga studio in town called The Space, and I've been teaching kindy yoga a lot in Raglan as well to the kindy at Let's Grow. So know a lot of people around town through all of my roles.
No doubt.
Many of you have already met me, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, that's a lot of community involvement.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder if all these roles that you've done have kind of led you to where you are now. And at the moment, you are working for Landcare Research on a project called
Landcare Trust,
.org.nz. And the project is called Taiae Te Taiao, which is a ecological corridor going from the Mangatauturi Mountain to Mount Porongia. So how did this all come about, this project? How long has it been going, and how long have you been involved with it, Bixie?
Yeah, I've been around. It's actually quite new. It's only been a few months. Feels like a year. so I started with Landcare Trust in November, in the middle of lockdown, actually.
Right.
And took on the role of project coordinator for Taiae Te Taiao. At the time, it didn't even have a name, the project. So it was Mangatauturi to Porongia Ecological Corridor. I've kind of became involved through everything I've been doing with Kerio Project and looking at kind of how to bring back biodiversity as a whole. I've always loved birds. I didn't love birds. I grew up where my dad was a bird watcher and I hated birds, to be honest. you just don't like what your parents are into when you're young. Grew out of that and have been always passionate about bird life, which is why living in New Zealand is the dream. And through Kerio Project, bringing back biodiversity in all of from mountain to sea was really good, looking at that kind of bigger scale. And the project I'm working on now is looking at creating that larger scale work around connectivity and what do bird populations need to thrive, or sort of any wildlife needs lots of food and it needs predator control and it also needs quality habitat. And so I got interested in learning more about what we could do to bring back more species in greater numbers into New Zealand, and that's landed me where I'm at now.
Excellent. It's an exciting project. I mean, how many kilometres is it as the birds fly between Manga Tautari and Pronga, do you know?
It's about 44, 45 kilometres from Manga Tautari to Pronga.
Okay.
If you know Manga Tautari, the Sanctuary Mountain has a predator-proof fence around it. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, that fence is also 45 kilometres. So it seems to be the magic number for our project.
All right. Yeah. And how long has that fence been up at Manga Tautari now?
Ooh, that's been up. Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah. quite a while, isn't it?
It's been up. Yeah, quite a while. I'd say probably about over 10 years. I'd have to look up the exact date.
And the monitoring they've done inside the Sanctuary Mountain kind of thing, how much of a biodiversity increase has there been? I mean, it wouldn't be easy to kind of come to a figure, I guess, but have they got any ideas?
Oh, yeah, they've brought back lots of species and been able to support lots of species. I think not just at Manga Tautari with the fence, but also with the predator control work they do around Pronga.
Mm-hmm.
So Pronga Mountain doesn't necessarily have a fence, but through predator control, and this is what the Kerea Project works on as well, just keeps the predator numbers suppressed enough that they can reintroduce species and support the species that are already there, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that we've got a lot of special species in this area of the Waikato. Everything from, we've got, you know, kaka and kerea, well, kaka is pretty exciting, kaka flapping around. Kereru, we've got the native falcons, so the Kariria.
Huh.
We've got everything that's been reintroduced from kokoko to robins, and as well as geckos. They've got tuatara at Manga Tautari Mountain, and they've got kiwi, of course, and takahe.
Cool.
And then we're also looking at things like pekapeka, the long-tailed bats.
Right, yeah. All right. And who's been doing the predator control around Pronga?
The Pronga Restoration Society.
Okay.
Which is a group, like Kerea Project, mostly volunteer efforts. Yeah, so a huge amount of volunteer hours going into that predator control, just like on Kerea.
Okay. And how long have they been going for as a group doing that?
Oh, they've been going for over 10 years. I'd say the North Island Robin was reintroduced 10 years ago this month, I think, on Pronga.
Right.
And so they've been going over 10 years, probably similar to Kerea Project, maybe a little bit longer.
All right. Okay, so both the Kerea Project and that the Pronga started about the same time, eh? Interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And it's building an ecological corridor, so I guess your role as project coordinator, what is it? What's your involvement with it all, Bixie?
Yeah, so, my role being employed by Lanco Trust is actually thanks to some funding from Ministry for the Environment through the Freshwater Initiative Fund and through Jobs for Nature, which is the COVID relief fund. And
what is Jobs for Nature? Just want to explain that out while you're on it.
Jobs for Nature, it's a big package that was put together by the government to create more employment for the kind of in the wake of COVID. And so it's there's actually tracking. You can look online and you can see how many kind of what their numbers are for how many jobs they've created. It's about, I think it's over $1 billion, about $1.3 billion that's gone into creating more jobs.
Cool.
Around conservation and economic support for communities that are trying to achieve environmental benefits.
It's a great initiative, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so you've got, sorry, I interrupted you, sorry.
Where was I? Oh, my job is so putting together a corridor plan. So creating an ecological corridor is not. I've got around 5-year plan I'm looking at for now, but it's not a 5-year job. It's going to be a multi-generational job, I'd say.
Yeah.
One of the farmers that we work with, he always says it's taken generations to do the damage that we've done to the environment, so it's going to take many generations to undo it.
Mm.
And so I'm looking at a vision of how the corridor will look in 5 and maybe 50 years and how we can create connectivity between the mountains. So in about 10 years' time, we think about bird life will start to spill out of both of the mountain sanctuaries on either end of the corridor, Mangatachiri and Parangia. And so we want to create habitat now so that there's something for when those birds are ready to move out. And that isn't necessarily just going to be one big green hallway, though that would be lovely. What we're looking at creating in a more realistic kind of way is ecological stepping stones, so places that the birds can kind of travel to. Some of our birds will fly incredible distances. The kaka that are out in around Hamilton will come out to Raglan and go as far north as Little Barrier even.
Fire
so we've got some of our bird species that will just flap about all over the place. Tui, Kedadu will all travel quite far. But then some of our smaller bird species, our little shy birds, are like North Island robins, the tomtits, the tieki, the saddleback, which is one of the kind of taonga of Mangatauturi Sanctuary.
Mm.
They're not going to travel as far. And so these stepping stones are going to create areas that those birds can stop and feed and rest and maybe even have habitat breed there. In the larger parts of habitat, which also will involve predator control and planting species that will provide habitat and food for those birds. And so we're looking at where those stepping stones will be, where there already is existing areas of, say, kaikapia stand, native bush, and where we can enhance those areas, as well as the kind of spacing and what the best places for how far birds will travel, and also what we can do to kind of create the predator control and that whole integrated approach.
And are there already quite a few nice bits of bush still standing along the way?
Yeah, there's a few bits of bush. There's some nice bush. There's just not nearly as much as there was one at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're looking at, I guess, like decent-sized blocks, like a couple of hectares or something, and just planting it out like that. Is that what you mean by kind of ecological islands?
Yeah, we're working with kind of neighboring landowners to kind of create spaces if someone wants to retire a bit of land, enhance a wetland, for example, fence off a wetland. We'll work with them. In general, we want to kind of, we're trying to improve water quality along the Mangatika stream as well, so we're looking for kind of a riparian planting along the stream.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're trying to open it up to also look at tributaries, wetlands, and that way we can create bigger areas of habitat.
Mm-hmm. All right. And the Mangapiko stream, that runs basically directly between the mountains, does it?
Yeah. It comes out under the fence, the predator-proof fence at Mangatauturi.
Yeah.
And then it goes all through to till it joins the Waipa at Parangia, which is right at the Matakitaki Path site.
Okay. All right. And is it mostly going through dairy farms or sheep and beef farms, or what's the land use generally along the way?
Yeah. Most of it's private land on farms, yeah.
Yeah.
So we've been working with lots of farmers, and already there's some there's a stream care group that was started by a farmer named Don Mackey, and they were called the Lower Mangapiko Stream Care Group, but they've changed their name to the Mangatauturi to Parangia Ecological Corridor Incorporated.
Cool.
And they've already done quite a lot of work on the Lower Mangapiko there, and there's a lot of landowners who have signed on and farmers who have fenced off and created ponds, wetlands, and done a lot of restoration planting, which is great because we have some beautiful images of their farms that we can show to people when we're talking to them.
Well, yeah, that's great. They're already kind of passionate about it. Make your job a lot easier, no doubt.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, okay. So how many, I suppose during your week you'd just cruise around and go and talk to landowners and farmers and that, and just say, hey, look, this is what we're up to, and are you interested in joining us or whatever? Is that kind of what you do?
Yeah, sort of. There's a lot more time on the computer than
right.
that.
Right.
We do spend a lot of time looking at the kind of plans and working with council, regional council, and WIFA district council, and trying to focus on those priorities areas. We're still working on that great map of where the priority areas will be and what species we want to plant. We're going to be planting some, fast-growing species that will grow tall really fast. Then we also want the slower growing trees that are going to grow these kind of larger trees that might have big cavities for things like pekapeka, the native bat, to nest in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working at this stage, especially as I've just started on that planning more, but we are doing a planting season this year. So come winter, we'll, with regional council, be putting in about 60,000 trees.
Cool.
And I have been working with a few landowners on that, so I have got to go out and meet some, and there's been some pretty, it's great, some of the, we meet these farmers, they've already done work, and some of them, they've chucked a few trees in, and they've done a bit of weed control, and they just haven't had success, and so they've got the will, but they just haven't got the time,
yeah.
And we're able to come along with advice and support, and also some funding to support them, so we can kind of match them, and so the farmers contribute a bit, fencing, and we come in and kind of hopefully can contribute to a lot of the planting and the weed work in the first years.
Mm-hmm.
For the people that are in our focus areas and our priority areas, and then the ones that are outside the priority areas but still on the corridor, we can support applications and give them advice on where to find funding and support that process as well.
Cool. And so if you're a farmer somewhere along those ways, what's the best way to, get involved with the project, Bixie?
Yeah, it's mostly on Facebook. I was chatting to you about being on Facebook or not, but I'm pretty sure you can get on the page even if you are not on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So if you looked up facebook.com/ecological corridor,
mm-hmm.
you can find us there. You can also look through the Land Care Trust website. And get in touch with us there. So if you want to get involved, or if you just want to know more, really, we're happy to hear from anyone at this point. There's lots of different levels of involvement.
Okay. So you're looking for volunteers and all that as well to maybe help with the planting? Or?
Yeah, keen as.
Okay. Interesting. Well, it's a really exciting project. And I guess, it's going to take, like you say, generations to do. And I wonder if there's a clear path between Prongia and Mount Kariwi, that could be
Yeah,
bad.
Well, that's the next step.
Right, yeah.
Yep, I think there's really good potential for that, and there's a great pathway there that already has existing vegetation in the, just needs a little bit of enhancing and protecting.
Interesting. Yeah, okay. So you got that happening, and it's a five-year project, and so you're involved, the Ministry for the Environment, your organisation, the Land Care Research,
mm-hmm.
Also the Ministry for the Environment's involved, and DOC's involved as well?
Department of Conservation is hopefully going to support quite a lot of the monitoring and the predator control along the corridor once we get into, once we've got some bits of bush to protect. And, we've also got lots of... So my role as project coordinator, I'm overseeing the project along with Te Ao Apapa, who's the Mapurangi Māori facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
And then we both work for Land Care Trust, but we're working closely with regional council, with Mangatauturi Ecological Island on one side, Prongia Restoration Society on the other, as well as with the kind of Ngāti Apakura and Ngāti Koroki Kahakura. Apakura coming from Te Awamutu and Ngāti Koroki Kahukara from the Mangatauturi side.
Right on.
So there's a lot of organizations. We've got a big governance group that has someone from each of those organizations. It's a big collaborative project.
That sounds really exciting. And there's a lot of people obviously thinking along the same line, so that's great. And you just started in November, so you haven't really been going very long, have you?
No, not myself, but all of these people I've mentioned and these organizations I mentioned have had this dream for years and have been working to put the framework together for us to jump into. So there's a lot of energy already going in the right direction, and I just jumped on the train.
Perfect. Yeah, no, that's it. That sounds great. So is there anything else you'd like to add, Bixie, about the project while we're talking about it? You know, maybe would you like to encourage some, you know, landowners to jump in if they're listening in?
We get all kinds of people we've talked to out there, and it's basically just, we are trying to mitigate the kind of probably negative effects of farming on nature and just create a world where we can have both. And I think that's really enhancing. A lot of landowners are seeing that as it is adding to the value of their land, and it's protecting the waterways, it's taking E. coli out of the streams, giving them shade, you know, filtering the sediment from the streams, and they're seeing the benefits. A lot of the farmers we've met, you know, they grew up catching eels in the stream. They're really connected to the land and to the waterways through it. And so it's been a really exciting project to meet people and to work together on this project that we can kind of, you know, we can add benefits for everyone, for the community, for the environment, for the land.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that sounds like a great project, and good luck with it. And, yeah, we'll have to get you back on again, you know, when you've got your feet under the desk a little more, so to speak, and just to see how you're getting on with it. Yeah. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Cool. All right. Hey, thanks very much, Bex. I really appreciate you coming on. And, good luck. Sounds like a really exciting project. And, yeah, all the best.
Well, thanks for chatting to me. Yeah, have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. Ta-da. That's Bixie Toll there, folks, the project coordinator for Taiao, an ecological corridor between Maunga Tautiri and Porongia Mountains. So, yeah, if you are listening in and you've got, or you're interested in volunteering, like she was talking about, or you got some land along there and you'd like to get involved, sounds like a really exciting project. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed that one, folks. And now I'm going to play for you the Manic Street Preachers, Baby Alien. I hope you enjoy this one. Street Preachers there with Baby Alien. I hope you enjoyed that one. And that's kind of it from the Over the Fence show this week. I hope you enjoyed it. And thank you very much for Bexy Toll for coming on the show and having a talk about what she's up to now. It's a really exciting project. And I hope you enjoyed it however you're taking this today. So it's kind of it for me. So we'll go out with David Cougar and the Heavy Eights, a song called A Break in the Weather. And look after yourselves, look after each other. And we'll be back again next week. Ka kite anō.